This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, July 30th, 2021. I'm Caleb Brown. Freeing trade in medical necessities has become more important during this pandemic. Cato's James Backus is author of the new paper, Trade is Good for Your Health. We spoke earlier this month. At its most basic level, how should we understand the relationship between health and the ability to engage in trade?
Being healthy is very often about being able to have access to medicines and other medical goods. Trade is critical to that, both domestically and internationally. For many decades now, international trade has been critical to medical health in terms of increasing the availability of medicines and other medical goods and speeding their spread worldwide. In the pandemic, with COVID-19 and now its various variants, we're seeing all the more the inescapable connection between trade and health.
What did the U.S. government do to make goods, critical goods needed to deal with this pandemic flow more freely?
Well, up until a few months ago, the United States government did virtually nothing to make goods flow more freely during the pandemic. The situation has improved somewhat under the new administration. I think that's for two reasons. One, the attitude of the new administration is different, but also I think, practically speaking, and now that a great many Americans have been vaccinated and doses are available to those Americans who have not, it becomes easier politically to be more generous in supplying vaccines and other medical goods worldwide. We're still not, in my view, doing nearly enough in working with other developed countries to make certain that all those who are so desperately in need of COVID-19 vaccines worldwide get them sooner rather than later. I fear for the consequences, not only for the people in those countries, but for the people in the United States and other developed countries who will see this come back and bite them in the proverbial backside. The pandemic's not going to be over until it's over everywhere. This is a basic health lesson, and this makes enhancing international trade and medicines and other medical goods all the more urgent. So far, not only the United States, but none of the members of the WTO have been able to come together through the World Trade Organization to do anything to lower barriers to trade in medical goods since the pandemic began. And this is shameful.
So what about medicines? I know Scott Linsicum here at Cato has done quite a bit of work pointing out that the development of and creation and manufacturing and distribution of vaccines was a globalization victory, that it was a story that we should keep in our back pockets when people poo-poo globalization. But beyond that, where do we see some of the biggest impediments to allowing medicines to move between and among countries?
Well, Scott is absolutely right, as he usually is. He and I are very much like-minded on these issues. And the discovery of these vaccines is a tribute, yes, to international cooperation, but also to individual innovation and cooperative efforts at innovation. Liberal market capitalism, if you will. This is a great example of how it works at its best. The impediments now are largely in terms of supply. They're in terms of production and distribution. A well-intended, but in my view, misguided proposal has been made to the World Trade Organization that the intellectual property rights in COVID-19 vaccines be waived. Unfortunately, in my view, the United States has endorsed this proposal. I see in the actual negotiations that the Biden administration seems to be taking a more reasoned stand and not just playing to a global audience. The real problem is not intellectual property rights. There's a shortage of vaccine doses in the developing countries of the world, not because anyone has abused their intellectual property rights, their patents in these medicines and in processes relating to them. The problem is a problem of supply. It's the need for more production of millions and millions of additional doses, and it's the need for better distribution of those doses through private supply chains and also through direct governmental action. In my view, the wealthier nations of the world should come together and simply pay the producers for several billion doses that can be circulated worldwide as soon as possible. In the end, that's going to be cheaper than dealing with the health backlash of the continuation of the pandemic in our own countries, not to mention other countries. At this point, the last I read, only 2% of Africans have been vaccinated. I read yesterday that the medical experts are saying that Indonesia could soon face the same kind of devastation from the Delta variant as India did. And yet here in Florida, most people are acting like the pandemic is over. It's not. It's definitely not. And we need some sensible approaches to addressing.
You make note of this in your most recent paper for Cato. In November 2020, 13 World Trade Organization members working together on WTO reform, called the Ottawa Group, announced that they had joined forces to urge all WTO members to suspend tariffs on medical equipment, refrain from export restrictions on essential medical goods, implement trade-facilitating measures in customs and services, and improve transparency in medical trade. Those countries include Australia, Brazil, Canada, Chile, the European Union, Japan, Kenya, the Republic of Korea, Mexico, New Zealand, Norway, Singapore, and Switzerland. So the country that is glaringly, obviously not there is the United States. Why?
I have no idea at this point. What they're trying to do should be what the Biden administration advocates. The Biden administration is generally trying to withhold taking positions on trade in the first year of the president's term. This makes no sense to me. And it certainly makes no sense to me not to be fully engaged in trying to free trade in medicines and other medical goods. The Ottawa Group is trying. So far, they've not accomplished anything, but they have the right idea. In my view, they don't go far enough. For example, the Ottawa Group is talking about a temporary end to tariffs on medicines and other medical goods. I think we should simply eliminate them altogether and permanently. In addition, we need some real guidelines that we don't have now in WTO rules on export restrictions as they relate to medicines and other medical goods. There have been a proliferation of these export restrictions during the pandemic. Many of these restrictions are probably legal under the current WTO rules, But that doesn't mean that they're good policy or a good idea. They are not. So part of what the WTO members should be doing, in my view, is making certain that there are some real guidelines for when and under what circumstances export restrictions on medicines and other medical goods are applied, and how long they last. Other countries should be given notice. They should be given an opportunity to have their say before any action is taken. In taking these actions, WTO members should be required to take into account the concerns and the impact on other countries. That's not happening now. That's supposed to happen with restrictions on exports of foodstuffs under WTO rules. Why not medicines and medical goods? There should be full transparency of all this. There's not now. Some of these restrictions are resulting from indirect governmental actions through various contract requirements and manipulations. There should be a time limit on them. These should be temporary if they're ever justified. If in fact they can ever be justified, they should not stay in place for very long. There are no rules on any of that now. In my view, as I explain in my paper, what the WTO needs to do is negotiate a medical trade agreement. Part of that agreement must be the elimination of all tariffs on all medicines and other medical goods by all the members of the WTO. Another part of it should be new and real disciplines on the imposition of export restrictions on medicines and other medical goods. And the last part should be further restrictions on non-tariff barriers, such as local content requirements and incentives and encouragements for having a more mutual recognition and more harmonization of standards for the use of medicines and other medical goods. So far, they've made very little progress toward doing that.
What prevents the president? I know during the last 4 years of the Cato Daily podcast, we talked a lot about how for decades, Congress had delegated to the president a great deal of authority when it comes to trade. What prevents the Biden administration from just saying, hey, we're suspending a whole lot of rules right now with respect to trade, and we want to get as many people vaccinated on this planet as possible? What prevents that?
Well, I'm not clear that the president has the executive authority simply to erase tariffs any more than I think President Trump had the executive authority to increase them unilaterally. I think both would be an abuse of the executive power. It's the Congress that approves taxes. Tariffs are taxes. The Congress can delegate to the president tax-cutting authority in the form of tariff-cutting authority in specific circumstances. Now, the president could lead the charge in Geneva to conclude a WTO agreement. This would not require separate authority from the Congress to negotiate such an agreement. We're already members of the WTO. If the result of that agreement were tariff cuts and new rules regulating export restrictions, then that could well require congressional action. As I think you know, I both served in the conference and also been in the executive branch in the Office of the United States Trade Representative, so I understand both points of view.
But in the short run, your view is that because these restrictions exist, the U.S. ought to be, in a sense, just buying lots of doses to distribute around the world. And
I think the United States of America, the European Union, Japan, and Canada and other wealthy countries in the world should be combining their efforts to provide funds to purchase these needed doses from their makers and get them to where they're needed most in the world as quick as possible. There have been efforts to put this together. That's what the COVAX effort of the WHO and others has been about. But it's lacked the full-throated support of all of the developed countries, and it's not received anything approaching the kind of funds that are needed to do this. Instead of taking away the property rights of creative people who have miraculously produced these vaccines in such a short time, we should be buying their products at the public expense. And as I said earlier, I think this will end up being much less expensive than dealing with the consequences if we don't. Because, no country, no one country can be an island alone in all this. This virus and other pandemics to come will know no geographical borders, and we will continue to be victims of COVID-19 and in the future be victims of other pandemics unless we figure out the best ways of global governance to try to contain them. And simply leaving people in Africa to fend for themselves is certainly not morally defensible, but it also makes no selfish sense for us if we're looking only at our own self-interest, because it won't end the pandemic.
James Baucus is an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. His new paper is Trade is Good for Your Health. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast pretty much anywhere and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.